Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
We have Harley Schlanger from Berlin and lots of insight as to what's going on. Tell us what's happening, Harley, in terms of what's going on in Europe. We have, of course, the latest immigration deal. I want to talk about that a bit today with the obscenity words. I guess we find further proof that Donald Trump is a blue-collar billionaire, because it's like being at a pipe-fitter meeting where people start getting a little bit rambunctious using four-letter S-H-I words to describe peoples or situations, because they are coming to an agreement. We have some situations that are happening in China where they are doing a war game simulation for World War. Obviously, World War means with America. On the one hand, everybody does war game simulations, but they have stopped buying Treasury notes, and I have a feeling that it's kind of shot across the bow. I hope that we're not kind of heading toward a trade tariff and a trade war with China, which is our greatest trading partner. Their trade deficits with America are the highest we've ever had. Things need to be reciprocal, which is what we've opened up with Trump this year with sales of beef to China, hopefully soon vehicles and other things. And China's, hopefully under Xi, will open up rules so that U.S. corporations can move in there without our patents being taken over by China or, you know, like unfair corporate practices. I think Xi is trying to work out something, just like Ma is, but so far things are still in flux, aren't they?
Well, I don't agree with that. Let me start with a slightly different picture on that.
Yeah.
The United States has, the dollar is collapsing. You know, it's now at 121 to the euro. We're letting the dollar fall like crazy to try and increase our exports. The problem, as Trump has said repeatedly, is not that the Chinese are being so unfair, it's that we signed terrible trade deals.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that the people that negotiated these deals were actually, as Trump says, morons. But I agree that the Chinese were better negotiators than we've been in the past.
And what Trump said is if he were China, he would have done the same thing. If you can take advantage of a country, why not?
Well, he's being honest, isn't he? He's being honest.
Yeah, but what's changed, Bill, is that there are major deals in the works between the United States and China, far beyond just the initial sales of beef. Trump and Xi did sign over $250 billion worth of deals.
Good.
As an opening.
Give us a list of some of those openings, because I'd like to see auto, other electronics and other things, you know, bidirectional. I'd like to see reciprocal trade. That could happen, because I think between the negotiator Trump and Xi, who is a new master at trying to modernize China so it's no longer this sequestered superpower, but one that's negotiating belt and the silk, new Silk Road belt and road projects, etc. I'd like to see it where it neutralizes the chances of a future war by having reciprocal trade and all these other things. And that's what LaRouche has done and your organization. But I still see some kind of like sticking points, like North Korea and some of the trade deals, you know, they're taking a long time to be walked through, in other words.
Well, we're changing a policy where the United States has had a very terrible policy for a couple of decades, but particularly under Bush and then under Obama. Now, give me just a minute to develop the situation with China, because there's some really credible developments in the last week.
Right.
And most of them are not getting covered in the United States. First, French President Macron had a three-day trip to China, which was absolutely spectacular. Now, look, I know who Macron is. I know he worked with the Rothschilds. I know he's got a very checkered and dirty past. But there's another aspect to him, which is that he does represent the institutions of France, which are not excited about the current global situation. Now, what Macron said when he met with Xi is, our Western banking and financial system is tired and cracking. We need to look to China for new ideas on how to modernize and how to provide credit for industry.
Doesn't France already have an infrastructure bank? Don't they have an infrastructure bank right now?
Who, the French?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's totally underfunded because they're under the European Union restrictions.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. China did the opposite. When the 2008-09 disaster happened financially worldwide, China did the opposite of us. They expanded into infrastructure rather than what we did, which is give more money to the bigger than fatter banks.
And the European Union has a restriction against national governments investing in their infrastructure unless it's approved by the EU. If a government like Italy, remember when there was the avalanche in Italy and the destruction of electrical wiring and transformers.
Homes and everything, they wouldn't even allow them to rebuild their homes. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they would not allow them because they said it would be an illegal subsidy by the state. So what Macron said is, look, what we're doing in the EU is harming our countries. We should learn from China. He said China has reduced poverty dramatically. 700 to 800 million people are now above the poverty level who previously had been under it. He said we could learn from them. Now, none of this has been covered in the U.S. press. The Washington Post said Macron went and pandered to Xi Jinping. Well, two of the areas of discussion, one was on French aircraft being sold to China, but the other was the Chinese asking the French to come in and help them develop the most modern nuclear energy plants.
Because the French are masters at it, aren't they?
They're very good. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is before Macron went to China, who do you think he called? He called Trump. And he got a briefing from Trump on how to work with Xi. And the first person he called as he left China was Trump.
Wow.
This was a coordinated discussion process. Trump then called Putin. Now, at the same time, Macron came back and met with the southern European countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece. These are countries that are heavily involved now in the New Silk Road with China. China's helping them rebuild ports, train stations and train rail lines to the ports. And what Macron and they talked about is, how do we shift the EU policy, which up to this point has been against China? Now, the other big issue that brings up is, what about Germany? You know, Germany yesterday, the two leading parties made an agreement to try and get an agreement. This has been going on for months.
You're talking about to try to form a government, you mean?
Yeah, they still have no government. The elections were in the end of September. There's still no government in Germany.
Yeah.
And Merkel was betting everything on working with Macron on the EU policy, and now Macron seems to be changing the EU policy. So what happens to Germany? Now, the second point on China, the discussion that took place between North and South Korea, the president of South Korea, President Moon, in his New Year's address, praised Donald Trump, and he said it was because of Trump that we were able to get this opening with the North.
Right.
Now, Trump said he credits Xi for working with him to do that. Now, at the same time, the Wall Street Journal had this big article a couple days ago about China's military intentions and how the U.S. has to have military intentions to strike North Korea. General Mattis, the defense secretary, said it's all a bunch of nonsense. He said, we want diplomacy to work.
Right.
So there's a lot going on here that is being lied about in all the U.S. media and the European media as well. And I'll get to the lies about Trump in a moment. I'm coming from Mueller and this guy, Wolf, and others. But the world situation has shifted dramatically around the Belt and Road, and the U.S. is on board with that. And this is something that has the establishment so hysterical that they're escalating to try and get rid of Trump and to lie about Putin, to lie about Xi Jinping. Now they're going to start lying about Macron, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure there's forces behind both Putin and Xi in the Communist Party to go in the wrong direction. But Xi wants to bring it in the right direction. He has enough political clout now to work with Trump and to work with Putin and to modernize the world economy and communication and travel. So someday you'll be able to get on a high-speed rail train, say in Manhattan, and go all the way to Alaska around the world. How's that?
Well, and I can tell you, I just had an associate of mine in Berlin who was in Shanghai for a week.
A couple of the titles of the articles. Americans must know what Macron has done, which we talked about. China's Silk Road inspires France's Macron. Will it reach Berlin and Brussels? We hope. The Germans haven't formed a government yet. I'm a little concerned over the idea that they're talking about a trans-European military force. That's kind of crazy. Harley, tell us more about what's going on. Oops, I think we lost Harley. I think we'll have to reconnect. Uh-oh. My computer decided to crash again on me. So we'll just continue until we get reconnected here. I'm not sure exactly what happened here. We are still connected, so I'll continue for a second here until I see what's going on with my computer. So, firstly, I see the move by Trump and Macron to try to open up trade deals. I just talked to, for example, Zapworks, which is a company out of Montana that has the patents going back to the Edison battery. And it's a good example. The Germans several years ago brought in two different technical companies to bring in what's called the nickel iron battery systems. Of course, they're using cadmium type technology, so it's not quite as good as the ones that were made here in America, the Zapworks, which will be up in production in the next few months. They have $600 million of production requests already, and so we'll be bringing them on. But the Chinese want to make deals. They want to bring in technology from countries like France or nuclear, for example, which is a master. I think about 85% of their power is nuclear in France. They want to bring in technology from Germany and elsewhere and amplify it, and then remarket it back out to the world. We need to be making deals so that Trump becomes the first high-speed rail, in a sense, president. And the only way to really do that is for him to bring in thousands of Chinese technologists that will actually rebuild our rail system to have safe and technologically advanced high-speed rail. And we also need to have complete recycling of materials so we get down to a little atomic levels of minerals, toxic chemicals and other things so that they're rebuilt back so that the company requests something, whether it's aluminum or any other mineral, they don't have to remine it. It's actually in a factory in the forms of little micro cubes that can be shipped off to a factory to be reprocessed into products. And China and these companies would be able to advance that technology pretty quickly. The Japanese have done a lot of work in this area. What I'd like to see is this move forward pretty quickly. Let's see. Hopefully we'll have Harley reconnected here again. I've been having computer troubles this morning, but hopefully we'll reconnect here and be just fine in a moment. One of the things I think that we need to start thinking about is if we don't plan on collaboration in terms of reciprocal trade, et cetera, with countries like Japan and China and North Korea, where the total is about $1 trillion a year in trade deficits with the United States, in the dollar dropping, American economy could go bust, especially if the bond market and these currency wars start to reheat up. And right now, America will be the pressing number one oil and gas producer in the world by next year, with the Anwar opening up and oil and gas exploration all over the coast, plus the reactivation of shale and other oil sources. It's very probable that the movement of companies back to America in the terms of $4 to $5 trillion over the next few years will rebuild the major infrastructure, but we need to have better breaks for small and medium business. And I know they passed a tax bill, but they need to have better regulatory things that help small business as well. So what I'd like to see is I'd like to see that happening pretty quickly. The plan by LaRouche has always been that if we collaborate with our potential, who we call competitors, like China and Russia, then we will avoid war because we'll be partners in projects that will prevent the need for warfare to occur. Why does warfare occur? Because of territorial concerns, because of marketing concerns and money concerns that can't be settled in the normal, we call, tables of negotiation. And that's the real issue that we're talking about here. So, it's too bad we don't. Let's see if we can reconnect with Harley from the studios there, because I'm having my troubles with my computer. My computer is still kind of working on updates again. It's just, I don't know why it's doing this over and over again, although it had its updates for Windows 10. It's distressing when your computer starts it. It says, don't turn off your computer, getting Windows ready. Well, it was ready. It's kind of bizarre when these systems, which I believe to a great extent are part of the deep state, when they put these things in your computer, they're constantly updating software to maintain total control over your computer systems and upgrading your software to both get better performance. But on the second hand, they're already redoing everything. And now it's actually saying it's going to restart my system. So let's see if it does. Maybe. It may be actually restarting properly this time. Kind of strange. The other thing I think we need to talk about is the immigration deal. And I'm glad that Trump is not going to cave on this. Unfortunately, he used words that were pretty provocative. But to be honest with you, I call him a blue-collar billionaire. That's what attracts a lot of the base for Donald Trump. He calls it the way it is. I mean, look at the place of Haiti. It is a pretty crappy place. Look at a lot of these countries in North Africa where people are trying to immigrate here, or Central America. They're pretty terrible places to be. So it doesn't surprise me that he uses the actual language. And we want the best of people. We don't care what race they are or what country they're from. We want people to come here that actually need to come here because they want to make not only themselves a better opportunity, but also make America better. And we need to see that happening pretty quickly. So that's what I'd like to see happening. And look at that. We're going to be – do we have Harley back? Are you back, Harley?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well now. I'm not sure what happened, but they did the miracle. We've got you.
All right.
Let's fill in some of these other details. I kind of treaded water for a few minutes because I think the Silk Road idea and the idea of collaboration, which LaRouche has pushed, is the alternative to war. What are the things that mix and create war, like the First World War, Second World War, the Napoleonic Wars? It's always trade. It's always finances. It's always, in a sense, all wars are banker wars in some way or other. And if you have trade and collaboration, it prevents war. It actually means we're partners in making things and working on projects and exchanging ideas and advancing technology. So if France brings nuclear technology, Germany brings production technology to China, China will have their huge battery of engineers advance it further. So, for example, here in America, if you want Trump to be the first high-speed rail president, he needs to have thousands of Chinese rail engineers and technologists to come to America to help train our engineers and get it going. That's how the fast track, how this will happen. Same as recycling materials and making stable energy and starting nuclear fusion technology, which in the next 10 to 20 years we should firmly be moving toward.
Well, I mean, the bigger point here is that the other part of wars is that when nations believe they have to compete to get power over and above other nations, which is usually about finances, about raw materials, about trade and so on. Now, what the Chinese are doing, beyond the whole question of the Silk Road, is that there is a potential for a financial system which is based on the idea of production rather than speculation. And I think this is the other important point, my question.
Well, that's what happened, actually, since 2008-9, is the financial economy has been speculative rather than real, hasn't it?
Yep. Not much.
And that's what China did, the opposite. They expanded the infrastructure in the real economy, not the speculative. Computers up. We have good sound now with Harley. Harley, let's continue with the treason against Trump and that interview you talked about. Let's proceed with that, please.
Well, let me start by simply saying that, and I know I've said this before, but I want to make the point that the whole Russiagate was an excuse, not just for the Hillary Clinton loss, because they were working on it before Hillary lost. They were using Russiagate because they were afraid if Trump got elected, he would throw out the Bush-Obama policies. And that's, in fact, what he intended to do, and that's what he wanted to do. And Russiagate has stopped him from fully doing that. He's done some fairly significant things on international and strategic policies, but he hasn't really been able to work with Putin because of all the attacks that were done on him as a Putin agent. And it's interesting, Trump, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, said the biggest problem he has with Russia and China is the leftovers from Obama. And Putin, 2 days ago, said he doesn't blame Trump for these problems. He said Trump has a problem with his Republican Party, but the bigger problem is the mess that Obama made.
Right.
So if you understand that Obama made a mess, what was the mess? U.S. globalism. It was the free trade policies. It was the bailout policies, the regime change policies, the war policies. That's what Trump said he was going to change. Now, I mentioned before the break that the president of South Korea praised Donald Trump for making the breakthroughs between North and South Korea possible. Trump told the Wall Street Journal that part of the reason that these breakthroughs have taken place is China. He said, China's been helping us a lot. He said, I'm not satisfied yet with the relationship with China. They've been helpful, but they haven't been helpful enough overall, but they've been very helpful. And he said, my relationship with Xi Jinping, I like him, he likes me, we have a great chemistry together. He was asked about how to deal with North Korea, and he said, I think North Korea going to the Winter Olympics is a good message. Then he said, and this is the funny one, he said he actually has a good relationship with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
And the Wall Street Journal said, well, have you spoken with him? And Trump said, I don't want to comment on it. I'm not saying I have or I haven't.
Yeah, now, I was reading on the funny comment that maybe he had a Dennis Rodman on the three-way. But to be honest with you, the fact that they're putting the squeeze on the banks and the people that supply microchips and material to make weapons. That's all they really need to do to cut off his nuclear ambitions. And then they can work on a trade deal. In fact, one of our people, John W. Spring, sent an interesting letter to the president that the largest amount of strategic special minerals like lithium is in North Korea. I mean, there's lots of reasons why we could use some of these things for leverage to expand a really serious economy expansion in North Korea. As I was saying, one of the most important things for anti-gravitonic vehicles, which you see like the Jetsons in the future, is lithium batteries. And the fact is that North Korea could bring us to what's called tireless vehicles flying around 10 or 20 or 30 years from now. That literally a stable North Korea might be a good thing on the other side of the Yulan River, where China then sees it as a collaborative thing with South and North Korea and America and Japan, rather than the thing where we're preparing for mutual assured annihilation, which is what will happen if we go to war.
Well, and that was the Obama-Hillary Clinton policy that Trump said he was going to change. Now, then he talked about Russiagate, and let me give you a little preface to this. On Monday, on the largest drive-time radio station in Washington, D.C., WMAL, they did a 12-minute interview with Joseph DeGeneva, who is a fairly prominent attorney, prosecutor. He was a former U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. And DeGeneva laid out what Russiagate is all about. He said that Mike Rogers, who is the head of the National Security Agency, an admiral, discovered there were illegal illegal surveillance against the Trump campaign.
Right.
So he ordered his agency to do an audit. And he said that many federal laws were being broken. And so when Clapper and Brennan, James Clapper, who was the director of national intelligence under Obama, and Brennan, the CIA director, who's a completely miserable, evil character, when
right.
they found out that Rogers had uncovered this and was investigating it, they went to Obama to try and get Rogers fired. For some reason, Obama didn't fire him, probably because he didn't want it to disrupt what they were doing. But Rogers then, after the election, went to New York City to meet with Trump without telling anyone. This was on November 17th. He didn't tell Brennan, he didn't tell Comey, he told none of them. He went and told Trump about the illegal surveillance.
Right.
That's when Trump moved the headquarters of the transition team out of Trump Tower. And when Trump put out the tweet that Obama is wiretapping him, which the media, of course, made a lot of fun of.
Yeah.
It turns out it was absolutely true. Now, then what DeGeneva said is that that he is in touch with at least 46 current and former FBI agents, all of whom have been feeding him information about the corruption inside the FBI. And what he said in particular is that what Strzok did had to be approved by Comey and McCabe, the number one and number two at the FBI.
Right.
And what DeGeneva said is, look, this is treason. The FBI was engaged in an operation in a presidential campaign to destroy a candidate, and then they tried to destroy his presidency. He said the treason is not Trump or the Trump transition team. The treason is what the FBI has been doing. And he said Strzok in particular was involved in using a fake dossier that the FBI knew was fake, this Christopher Steele dossier, the Fusion GPS dossier. He said this was paid for by Hillary Clinton. It was used to destroy Trump, and they used that dossier to get the FISA warrant. So he said they lied to the FISA court.
Well,
and then he said, let me just finish. He said Comey is dead meat and should be in prison. John Brennan will go down in history as the worst corrupt CIA director ever. And, of course, that's saying a lot, given some of the CIA directors we've had.
Yeah.
And finally, he said, there are many of these people in the FBI and Justice Department who were involved in the anti-Trump operations who he's convinced will end up in prison.
Right, now, and that should include all the way up to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. They need to wear orange. We need to see the first president and his wife and the Secretary of State go to jail because the law should apply to everybody in this country, not just the average we call citizen out there. Hillary Clinton and her ilk are not special.
Now, what Trump said with the Wall Street Journal 3 days later echoes everything that was said by DeGeneva, as well as everything that I've been writing for a long time. What Trump said is that everyone who knows anything knows that Russiagate is a hoax. The Democrats are milking it. The Republicans are not tough enough in fighting it. And then Trump said what went on at the FBI with Strzok, Page, and all, this was treasonous. Now, here's the quote from Trump. This is the FBI we're talking about. That is treason. They make up a crime. The crime doesn't exist. And then when you say there was no crime, they accuse you of obstruction. How could there have been obstruction in firing Comey?
Right.
And he said Comey has proven to be a liar and a leaker. He tries to act like a choir boy, but what he did with Hillary was outrageous.
Yeah.
So then Trump came back to this. He said there was no crime. I should get credit for firing Comey because many things have been found out as a result of his firing that would have otherwise remained hidden. So I think what we're seeing now is something that you and I have been talking about, what we at the LaRouche movement have been saying, is you've got to go at this question of the real meddling and the real collusion. The real meddling was the British-Israeli intelligence operatives who then were engaged in collusion with the Clinton campaign, the FBI, the CIA, and James Clapper. And why were they meddling and colluding? because Trump represented a threat to their continued policies.
Which is why they even had the British involved with the White Hats colluding to indicate that Bashar al-Assad was using chemical weapons against his own people, which is a lie. Again, the British involved again, right?
Exactly.
And Israelis. Yeah. I call it, it's a real hell. How's that?
Yeah.
It's interesting, this article you have put together here, too, is really good. Russiagate battle intensifies as Trump calls his opponents treasonous. But he's based on the facts. Now, of course, the SHI storm that's going on over the fact of his comments about Haitian people coming from these third world countries, he wants merit-based system. He wants people to come here that have merit. We don't want people jumping the line and getting into the country or chain migration or lottery that bring substandard people, many of them criminals, into this country, competing against our lower middle class or lower class, so that it drives wages down and harms the people who are already citizens or came here legally. I think, you know, obviously that's why I call him a blue-collar billionaire. It's like going to a pipe fitters meeting and the people start to curse at the meeting because they're not getting along. But Trump is not going to stick his heels in. I don't care how much Pelosi and Schumer kind of scream. The fact is, he wants a deal for the DACA kids, but he has to have closed door on immigration the same way he's going to make a deal with Xi. Xi's going to be happy. Ma will be happy eventually. Everybody's going to be happy because Trump believes in a win-win situation, doesn't he? That's why the Belt and Road is our pathway, along with China, to make sure that we're partners with them rather than letting them try to control it or a conglomerate of other nations controlling it, because otherwise we're on the outside. And if we continue to say policies of Obama and Bush, and Bush Sr. And Clinton, we would be in the outside of a world economy that would consider us irrelevant 10 or 15 years from now, right?
One of the interesting things about the Macron-Xi discussions is that one of the things they talked about is the French want to be partners now with China in Africa. And Macron said something very interesting. He said, look, we Europeans screwed up our opportunity to improve Africa. We went with imperial colonial policies. The Chinese aren't doing that. This gives us a new opportunity to help countries that need help. And he then said this has a lot to do with the whole immigration question. And Macron said that helping to create jobs throughout Africa for people to be able to stay in their home countries and have gainful employment and build a nation, that's the solution to the refugee crisis.
Well, look at the British and NATO. They bombed the hell out of the Muammar Gaddafi's primary water systems that were developed by Paul Power here. I've talked to him on the show a number of times from the Primary Water Institute because they don't want people in the Middle East or North Africa to have primary oasis-type water and to have industry in their own country and high-speed internet connected by low-Earth orbit satellites or planes, which they talk about the airplane-type satellites. They don't want to have the system of energy for everybody with solar and other technologies because it means we have a non-distributed system where small countries or even islands can have an economy that's integrated with the world economy. And this is what the Chinese are talking about, is they want to be a leader in a collective. They're not going to fund this whole thing. They're going to fund a tiny fraction of it. It's going to be a collective infrastructure system for the whole world. Won't it be nice someday to get on a high-speed rail, say, in Cork, Ireland, and take that high-speed rail all the way to Washington, D.C., around the world? Wouldn't that be neat?
Well, this is something that's possible. And you know, the hypersonic jets, there are all kinds of things that are in the works. But I think the important thing to understand is that, you know, I am not a proponent of China's one-party system or the Chinese Communist Party.
That's going to end, by the way. My prediction is, I have relatives in China. My sister's husband and his family are all from Shenzhen outside Hong Kong. They were bankers shot in the back of the head by the Communist Party, and his mother swam across Kowloon Bay to eventually deliver him in Canada. So I can tell you that the Chinese young people coming back to the country are going to overthrow the Communists in the next 10 years. It's going to have an internal revolution started by Xi, and he's trying to ride the back of these new young Chinese engineers and people coming back from other countries like London, America, Canada, etc. And China is going to evolve away from the so-called very restrictive super-communist control freak maniacs that are trying to re-exert communism just like the Iranian mullahs. In a sense, the communist mullahs are going to lose power just like the mullahs in Iran.
Well, they already have. What Xi talks about is socialism with Chinese characteristics.
Right.
Now, what he means by that is Confucianism.
Right.
And the teachings of Confucius are very close to the teachings of Jesus Christ in terms of the responsibility of each person for the poor and the helpless.
Right.
As opposed to the idea of state control over all capital and all industry. Look, in China, you have billionaires. That's not a communist system. And what Xi has
done... Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? 80% of the new billionaires in the last 25 years are all communist Chinese, which means it's not really communist. They just have a label on it.
Well, and this is something that Trump understands, whereas Obama, John Brennan, the Bush neocons, they're still trapped in the paradigm of the Cold War.
Right.
Now, here's a newsflash for them. The Cold War ended, and it was won by the West when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990-1991. Now, the mistake we made was to go in and treat Russia as a defeated nation and a nation open to looting by Western banks. And that's what was done under Yeltsin. That was done in the 1990s. And it made people in Russia nostalgic for communism because the shock therapy policies of the West worsened the conditions for the average Russian. What Putin has done has been to restore a certain amount of pride in Russia. But he's been hampered by sanctions, by the anti-Russian policy, by the lies being told about him. You know, we talked about the lies being told about Trump. There are many more lies being told about Putin. You know, the important thing is that if you look at these leaders like Putin, like Xi, like Trump, like possibly Macron, if you look at them as caricatures, well, then Putin's KGB, Xi is a communist, Macron is a Rothschild's boy, and Trump is a rich wheeler dealer. These are actually human beings. They're not stereotypes. And the media uses the stereotypes to scare people to stay in the old paradigm.
Well, the old paradigm will bring about eventually nuclear war, chemical, biological war.
Yeah,
and the fact is, and that's also, by the way, we don't even consider threats like Apophis coming in 12 years or galactic or solar events or even first contact with some alien beings from another world. We're not prepared for anything that deals outside of our little planet, including galactic events like a coronal mass ejection or even the start of an ice age, which is very possible. We're in a Maunder cooling period. The fact is we have to collectively work together to survive what's coming, don't we?
And what's important, Bill, is that we've got to use whatever means we have, including programs like yours, to get people over their fears, which have been induced by an oligarchy which intends to use people's fears to keep them enslaved. And most Americans don't think they're enslaved, but in fact they are. They're slaves to credit card companies. They're slaves to the debt they've been forced to go into because of the collapse of the physical economy. And we've got to free people from that. That's why LaRouche's four laws and the infrastructure plan and the investment in research and development and new technologies is so crucial for the future.
Yeah, including technologies to reduce and eliminate pollution, which is killing the benthic layer of the oceans and destroying the atmosphere and the ozone layer. These are real things that we're affecting. Carbon dioxide, do they try to make out a major villain?
That's
a fraud. It's a fraud, but the pollution is serious. We're killing the oceans and the phytoplankton are dying, which is part of the carbon oxygen cycle. Those are things we're actually doing that are real. And the fact is we can collectively work on total recycling, so there aren't any trash depots in the middle of the North Pacific, three times the size of Texas. We don't have, you know, landfill sites where there's more plastic in the oceans than fish. It's ridiculous. You know, well, they talk about the carrying capacity of the planet, and I hear people saying foolish things like we've reached the carrying capacity of the planet and we need to reduce it by the Georgia Guidestones down to 90% population reduction. These fools are just demonic. We need to change the way we treat the Earth, and then our home will be clean and recycled, and it'll be a clean atmosphere, and it'll be a safe, non-dangerous world where missile attack will literally, as LaRouche said, if we share that technology, we'll only have high-speed rail. We don't need to be worried about a nuke hitting our cities or their cities. Right?
Well, this is an exciting period to live in, and we've got to make sure it works.
Yeah, we need to be positive rather than negative about this stuff. And as I say, our brothers and sisters in other nations, we don't want a global government. We want a collective of nations that care about each other, about the human race, and about our fact that we don't want to become an extinction-level event driver for the death of our planet Earth. Thank you, Harley. I'm glad we got our sound back. That was
All right, a little bit trying.
We'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll be good rates for the whole hour. They did a great job here, Brad, at getting it connected the last half hour. Back in a moment with Gary Richard Arnold. Your questions are welcome. 877-317-6432. Call in when Gary's on air. We're going to have lots of stuff to talk about.
Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.